On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some cans from Burnt City after our episode at District Brew Yards as we look through the map for this year's 10th Bug. Beer Under Glass, and it kicks off Illinois Craft Beer Week. All that and more on this week's episode. Dude, these last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
Double episode this week.
Back to back.
We're drinking some fine Burnt City beer, coming off of our trip to District Brew Yards, talking to Bulldog, Burnt City, and Around the Bend.
You know, I think we commented in that episode that it's probably the first time we've had those crews on the show separately, and then we had them all back as a collective. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's a testament to their journey.
We probably would only done one episode, but it's Illinois Craft Beer Week.
Yeah, so we got a lot to talk about.
We had to come back with a double hitter this week.
I like that, man. Back to back. Yeah. Like the cover of Lethal Weapon.
And so, like I said, we're drinking some Burnt City beers, and we got some IPAs. Nick has got the double, and I've got the single, but they're both hazy here.
Yeah, they're hazy. This is the Narwhal Picnic, man, the double dry hop. And I believe that's the Quake companion to the Narwhal, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so this is actually a little overwhelming. It's 8.7 on a double IPA. It's got a Denali, Citra, and Equinox.
Nice.
And I don't know which one's doing what, but it's like, you know, you get like papaya and lime in addition to like your orange peel kind of thing. And I love how it's just a big whack of boozy alcohol right in the middle. Yeah, it's something that will, if you're looking to be overwhelmed, this will do the job. And sometimes you need that.
Mm-hmm. And I've got the Keith Minded. This has the Citra Amarillo, but it's got that Norwegian farmhouse yeast going on. So
they're not afraid to mix it up on the labels, too. Like, this is all, well, this is a limited release. So maybe that's why the label's different. But every time they come out, they're not afraid to, like, just revamp their whole style with the labels.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to get on that tall boy trend where you just slap the sticker on the can, right?
It's here, man. That wave is here.
And it's good to roll, especially they're pumping out so much beer at that location, like we said on the episode. And so if they can sell it all there, either on tap or in cans, like, yeah, more power to them.
The most impressive thing, like, this Narwhal Picnic was canned 5 days ago, right? And that's one of the most impressive things, is that everything they do, big or small run, is getting the can treatment, right? So they're kind of like, they want that to be their dinner day. I don't even think you're getting growlers there. I mean, I'm sure if you brought your own, maybe, but I don't think they were doing growlers.
I don't know. Does anyone do growlers anymore?
Or, yeah, you're probably getting a crowler. Probably getting a can.
Was there a date on that can, or are you just looking
at
that?
No, it's right here. Yeah, right next to the descriptors. Uh-huh. Thrilling is a thrilling, juicy, and tropical art.
The Keep Minded doesn't have a date on it, the top has a, what's that, 5/7/19, which was probably the Keep Minded, but this is a mixed
four pack. Yeah. That was a fun ride, man. I don't think they talked about, there were some things we missed that I really wanted to talk about, and now I'm drawing a blank because I kind of mentioned it after the show and I forgot. We were drinking a lot.
That we should have mentioned.
That we should have discussed with them on the show.
That's right.
Yeah. It will come back to it.
I can't remember either. But yeah, that's awesome that they want to add, you know, coffee, and they want to get more food, or not get more food in there, but be open on Mondays and more often through the week for those lunch spots and things like that. So that's pretty nice to see.
Yeah. And yeah, it was nice to sit down with all three crews in an empty beer hall. Right? This place holds 200. All the chairs are up except for the table we're at. And, you know, we're just chilling in this big, gorgeous space. I dug that on a Monday because they brew on Monday, but the public is not open to the public on Monday.
And, yeah, I think I said in that episode, like, I was standing outside waiting for you to show up. People were coming up. Some guy was, like, taking pictures across the street, like, doing his thing. And then he, like, went up to the door. And he's like, oh, they're closed. And he had spent, like, a good 10 minutes, like, taking pictures of the outside. So he got burned. Someday soon they will be open. And then they got the unofficial after party happening after Bug.
Yeah. It's only like 3 stops away on the Green Line.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, cheers to all those guys, man. Bulldog around the bend, Burn City,
mm-hmm.
for having us out, man. It was funny. They were talking about things have been really cool, even with the self-pour stuff. But they had to kick a dude out because he kept watching porn at one of the fucking bars.
I know.
It's like he's watching anime porn. And they tell him to turn it. He turns it off. He turns it off. And then you come back and he's like doing it again. I'm like, come on, man. What are you doing? You
know, I bet that stuff happens more than we know or most people realize, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine for all those bartenders who are like those late night bars or even like 4 a.m. bar. Like, what kind of disaster do you see that you're just like, get me out of here?
Yeah. So that's a good episode. So that's we dedicated a full show to the Burn City trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they talk about like what the roots of the concept and what it was going to be initially and what it ended up being, you know. And it's just a good listen. I enjoyed going out there.
Mm-hmm. And some of the beers that they got coming up. So mm-hmm. That's pretty exciting to see. They're pumping through so much beer that it's always new.
Dude, 30 beers on tap, always new. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You didn't realize there was a gap there. There was a gap between, right? Like the north end of the brewing district and, you know, basically River North to Noble Square.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gap there. And here they come with food and 30 beers, and they're rolling all night long right off Ashland. I'm happy for them. That's
nuts,
that's a cool setup.
Well, we'll get into some of the events happening for Illinois Craft Beer Week here in a minute, but Nick was out and about. I slacked off.
Man.
But you were out.
I was out a little bit, man. Went to Cooper's Hawk. That's the winery
mm-hmm.
out in Oak Park. And
well, there's multiple locations.
Yeah, they're all over the
rock
place.
Rock bottom
right?
of wineries.
They're the rock bottom of wineries. they do have a nice restaurant. Brussels sprouts are actually acceptable. You know, I can't eat Brussels sprouts, but theirs were good.
You can't eat them?
I just don't like them. You know, they're so dense and kind of earthy and gross.
I eat them all the time.
I can't get down, man. Oh, but theirs were good. Oh, but I'm bringing it up because they have this sampler, right? They have the bar, and you know, there's no tables. It's it's a standing bar. And they give you, it's actually a pretty good deal. I think you get like almost in around the world, you get like 8 different wine glasses, little baby wine glasses, little sample glasses, and of a flight. You get a flight of 8.
Okay.
I'm like, hey, man, this is cool, and I love the price point, but how about you stop pouring one at a time? How about you give me all 8? Why don't you quit fucking around? I don't want to have this whole one. I want to go back and forth.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, I don't know, you know, the way a brewery would. You know, and they're like, we don't do that here.
Are they not allowed to? Or?
I mean, they're not allowed to. We asked like 2 or 3 folks. The first guy was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then he just kind of skedaddled. We didn't see him anymore. Then the second guy's like, I'll do 2. But it's not a thing. It's not a thing that people ask. It's not a thing that they do. So it's just an interesting wrinkle in the wine sampling world.
That doesn't seem right. I bet it's a...
You think it's a Cooper's Hawk thing?
I think it's a Cooper's Hawk thing.
Okay.
Because, of course, you like, I don't know, maybe I'm coming at it from a different perspective, but then again, you have really, don't you have like 3 sips of something or just like by the time you have a glass, like your palate's wrecked already. So
yeah,
you bouncing around between 8, like going back and forth,
doesn't do much for, I guess. They feel the same way as you do, Brad.
Yeah, like it's all, your mouth is coated and your palate is destroyed. So
yeah,
whatever you think you like is just, at that point, whatever's like coming through, right?
You know, I thought this was America and, you know, I could have it any way I wanted. That's what I thought.
That's like Burger King. It's only at Burger King.
But I was wrong, man. But, you know, it was fun nonetheless, man. It was an $8 place. So it's in there. It's like, you know.
So it's $1 wine then.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good, yeah.
It's fun, man, and it's like it's female centric.
Okay.
A lot of lady action at the at this bar getting down on these wines.
Did you only like the Brussels sprouts because you had 8 wines? Is that how this played out?
Goddamn, I never eat Brussels sprouts. These are great. but it was solid, but I liked the I enjoyed the wines. That part was interesting. The fact that they like almost they refused to give me all 8.
Yeah.
Of the sample glasses, the cute little sample wine glasses.
It's funny that you bring up Cooper's Hawk because I might be heading out there. You know, it's Mother's Day coming up.
Yeah, right.
And so, like, it's a good spot, a good Mother's Day spot.
Yeah. What else did I do, man? Oh, I made it to White Sox Park, Guaranteed Rate Field.
Okay.
To see the good guys, the Chicago White Sox play.
Oh, I thought you were going to say see the good guy, Josh from the Kankakee Journal.
Oh, yeah. Josh was there, man, because you know, he's always wearing his Red Sox hat. He's a Red Sox fan. They were playing Boston, the world champ, so I hung out with Josh at
enemy
Sox Park.
He was in enemy territory.
White Sox versus Red Sox, man. We won the first game. I think world champs took the next three.
Oh, okay.
But we were, you know, we were there for the booze. Right, they do beer a little differently down there, right? They got like 70 different options on the craft side.
Okay.
Right, and then Goose has that massive
water park.
Yeah, they have this water park that ends up being like, you know, Goose is a trip, man. All right, so I'll just read you some of the beers that were at the Goose Island Beer Company. So draft, cans, and bottles.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, there's like a 10-foot. It's a massive Goose tap handle. Right. It's got to be like 10, 15 feet tall. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest thing out there, right? On draft, 312 and 312 dry hopped.
Okay.
Green line.
No rhubarb?
No rhubarb. Oh, it's Old Man Grumpy, Next Coast, Goose Island, Born and Raised Chicago Ale, which sounds like a pale ale. Draft only pale ale for the city.
Blue line. Or no, Next Coast was blue line, right?
No, you're right. No, Next Coast was it was a straight up IPA, but you're right. I think Blue Line was a dry hop pale.
Okay.
I think you're right. In cans, they have 312 dry hop, Natural Villain. That's the garage lager with that band. Next Coast again, and SPF. That's a passion fruit ale. Now, this was actually pretty good, SPF.
Nice.
I enjoyed SPF. And then Sophie Matilda.
Cool.
Yeah. So nothing too crazy. I went straight for the Sophie. Just give me the Sophie. What are we doing here? Give me the Sophie. Oh, but Josh had the SPF, and I'm like, you know what? This is good.
Yeah.
It's clean. It's refreshing. You know, on a 70-degree day, it's where you want to be, right? It works. It totally works. So, yeah. We hung out at the Goose Tent, man. Oh, but then you go just a few sections down on the other side of the concourse and go upstairs, and Revolution's Social Tap is there.
Oh, nice.
It's an upstairs bar. So they got a ton of Rev stuff, and then they also have, like, 18th Street and Pipeworks up there.
Damn.
Yeah. So I went Lizard King and Blooded a Unicorn from Pipeworks. Yeah. So exciting stuff. You go downstairs behind the outfield. There's a bullpen bar called the Craft Cave.
Mm-hmm.
Down there you can get stuff like Maplewood's down there, you know, and then, you know, Hot Butcher's down there. But, you know, like they go really heavy into local options, which is pretty exciting.
Nice.
Yeah. So I went there.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, man.
And then while you were over there, or out that way, hit up Weiner, right? I saw that.
Yeah, man, for the first time in like 2 years. Yeah. So our friend Mel, from who used to be at Windy City, she's out there now. And then, you know, they're doing pizzas inside of Weiner now, which I don't think they were doing that before. Like whoever the pizza maker was, they're doing it from inside there now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I got their focus is wild and blended saisons. I had something called Pretty Bird, which is pretty amazing. It's got like, you know, these three different yeast cultures in it from, you know, like some kind of Belgian yeast cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I really dug that. I like their fancy glassware. I like how it's, you feel at home in this joint. You're in a part of town that honestly I had never been unless I was going to the plant, because you're on like 46 and, fuck, I don't know, Racine or something. Right?
Okay.
Like there's no other landmarks that you would hit up over there, right? Like, unless you live down there. Back of the Yards is a neighborhood, you know, because the old Chicago Stockyards are out there. Yeah, so it's just south of, like, the ballpark and Mars. So, like, yeah. So, they're literally on an island, but they got such a cool setup.
Yeah.
Like, that's definitely, like, that's a recommended bar right there.
Was the farmer's market going on, or was it not that day? Maybe it hasn't started yet.
So it was, because the plant... I think there's room for like 11 tenants in the plant.
Okay.
Yeah. That Spice Company's there. And then, of course, Four Letter Word is there, the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And then the pizza joint. But then I don't know the other tenants. I don't think they're like customer-facing, like food or beverage tenants. So,
Nice.
But cheers to them, man. I enjoyed their offering at Uppers and Downers. And then I got a chance to go there again, too.
Man, see, you're getting after it.
Dude.
Anything else, or was that... That was pretty full.
That's a full week. And then, you know, we roll around Monday, and then we're at the Yards.
Yeah.
And the other Yards, the Brew Yards. Go from the back of the Yards to the Brew Yards.
Yeah. And now you got to take it easy, because rolling up on Friday, it all starts.
Intense, man. It's the it's Illinois Craft Beer Week.
Right. And this is the 10th bug.
Yeah. You know, we've had Justin Maynard on the show a few times. I think when it made the transition from Chicago Craft Beer Week to Illinois Craft Beer Week.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm fine with that. I don't really care. But like, what kind of bothers me is that it's not bookended properly. Like, there was a closing ceremony, right? And then like it rotated, but then like it, some years there was not one, and then it came back on. Like,
yeah,
it would be cool, like, because the opening ceremony is so dope, right? And it's the same thing every year, and it's something you can depend on, right? And then, but the close is something that doesn't match that. So that's weird to me.
Right. Is there a close this year?
I don't think so, man. Mm. So like,
I think this, I want to say the bug kind of kicks off Illinois Craft Beer Week, and then it kicks off this whole summer-long passport kind of thing, right? So why close it?
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying.
So maybe treat it like that now, right?
Yeah, that's the best way to look at it. I think Wells Park was probably the sweet spot for the closing ceremony.
That
where
was good.
It happened, like, you know, it was over 3 years. It happened twice. West Loop had one that sat right outside on, I want to say, like, Canal Street or maybe Clinton Street, right outside of, like, Ogilvy Station.
Yeah, that was nuts. I did that year I did that and Beerfly Alley Fight.
Yeah.
In the same day, mm-hmm. started there, drank a couple beers, went to the Alley Fight down at Haymarket.
I can remember, like, really getting into events, just being somebody that really dug events. I really fell hard for events when Craft Beer Week came around. Like, I just start to seek them out all year long because of the frenzy of the 7-day Craft Beer Week one. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's upon us, man. It is here, man.
Nice. Yeah. But Bug is sold out.
Yeah, good for them. Bug is sold out.
Last year, it didn't sell out.
Because I think they moved it. I think they moved it a day.
Went from Thursday to Friday. It's on Friday this year.
Yeah.
And I'm a little concerned because this weekend was like prime, and then we're rain.
Yeah, it was 70 or something.
And that time it rained for Bug was a mud disaster.
Yeah, you walk to the Bluestone Terrace, which is the western edge of the grounds. It's the furthest from the entrance, and yeah, like people were really like grabbing, like they were passing out like grocery bags, mm-hmm. and people were putting them on the shoes because you know it gets really hectic.
And
back
grocery
there.
Bags do not protect your shoes.
Yeah, that's a fact. They got every brewery. It seems like almost every brewery in the state comes to this party.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, I noticed they've got a ton of food options that I don't think I saw before.
Oh, that's good. I always forget to eat or don't eat.
Yeah, and I like how this year, you know, in the past, have been food trucks that sat outside, but now it looks like they're just going to be in the action. Along you go, you walk by 10 breweries. And then, boom, you'll see, like, 5 eateries.
Okay,
as stationed right next to the breweries.
That's smart.
Yeah, honey butter fried chicken, everybody, you know, from, you know, empanada people to tamale spaceship. Like, there's, like, 6 or 7 nice food options there.
Cool.
That ought to be good.
Yeah. And so when you go into Bug, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about Bug when you go there, where do you start? Do you do one lap? Do you start at the A's and work your way around? Do you go the other way to the Z side?
Yeah, I like to walk in and make my way to that little, I wish I had a map on me, but you walk in and then, you know, there's the main shot, right?
Yeah.
With the really big, cool, like, greenery everywhere, right? I like to hang a right and go
okay.
down and go.
You head towards the end of the alphabet.
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's like this little hidden courtyard on the right. I like to go out there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's usually my first stop.
Yeah, that's not a bad run. I want to look at the map because I would love to know if someone like Phase 3, are they going to be there?
Yeah, that's a fair question.
Do you have the map handy?
Let's see.
We got a little preview of the map going on, and we didn't pull it up in time. I don't even know what email I have that going to.
God damn it, Brad.
Oh, wait, here we go. It's a Beer Under Glass map. Man, I can't believe it's 10 years of Beer Under Glass.
Yeah, I was thinking about some of my favorite moments over the years, and my very first Beer Under Glass was definitely up there. Another one of my faves, man, was back in 2012 when Goose Island had their mini golf tournament inside the Goose Island Barrel Warehouse, which is now the home of Finch Brewing.
Oh, okay.
Right? They ended up they were renting it, and they had a chance to buy it. They should have bought it because it's really one of the biggest spaces in town for beer. But they were renting it, and then Finch came in and they started subleasing.
Okay, so looking at the map this year, this does not go in alphabetical order. This is the Guild. What are you doing? First off, I instantly see Schwartz Brewing on this list.
Oh, yeah?
Aren't they in Michigan?
Yeah, they're in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, that's fine. But this does not run in alphabetical order, unlike previous years that always ran in alphabetical order, right?
That's true.
Which, good or bad, it was easy to find places. I like that because you knew Alarmist was on one side and someone like... I don't know, Weiner was on the other side, mm-hmm. right? So you kind of could find stuff and you could kind of direct people that way. This is, it's running all over. So it's really hard to now see if someone like Phase 3 is on here.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's listed numerically, but then it's just kind of got, I don't know, what order would you call this? Because like Microphone's next to Open Outcry. Like how are...
I don't know. We've said before that it's a good idea to maybe plan some of like the cool breweries and make sure you have room for them, right?
Yeah, because you'll walk in and you'll have like that's where Gary Gulley discovered that he needed to make a haze and ended up winning the biggest prize at GABF because he was across from Microphone and Microphone had this huge line, right? And you're like, well, dude, if you're not making this beer, you need to make it. I think that was the story when we went to.
Oh, well, that was at.
I think that was at Blug, wasn't it?
It was at Oak Park Microbrew.
Oh, it was at Oak Park?
Yeah. Right. That was where it really hit home for him on the Hayes side.
More Brewing's going to be there. Roaring Table's there. Who? I don't see Phase three. A lot of these folks are not part of the Guild. Like, we're drinking Burn City. I don't think Burn City's part of the Guild.
Mm-hmm. And Bulldog, they said they weren't part of the Guild, but they may be there.
The first brewery I'm probably gonna go to, honestly, is Scratch. Is Scratch on here? That's the first brewery I'm going to. It's probably Scratch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So speaking of Alarmist, they are where you might think of Weiner being last year. So they are surrounded by Great Central Brewing, Lunar Brewing, Smiley Brothers, Hofbräu, Moore Brewing, Lagunitas. And Roaring Table, like in this outside area there.
Lunar gets lost in the shuffle because if you get off the Metra in Villa Park, they've been around for 20 years, but then you actually like walk right past Lunar to get to Moore. Where is Scratch? And why is Schwartz there?
Well, I don't know why Schwartz is there.
Also, who is Sandlot? Have you heard of Sandlot? Sandlot's on this list.
This is us being like, I am sorry for anyone that shows up here and has something
West.
To expect. But, yeah, it's us looking at who's Sidelot Brewing.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Sandlot? You said Sandlot? Sidelot?
Yeah.
Migraine Brewing?
Who's Migraine Brewing?
Are they in the book? Are they in the Beer Miscuous book?
You know, that, Brad,
that's last year's book.
Where's your 2019 book?
They didn't give me one. You got one. I don't know. St. Toronto is there.
Who's JT Walker Brewing?
I don't know.
Man, so...
No Scratch.
That's not true, Brad. I'm not believing you.
No Scratch. You might as well not even go now.
All right, well, if they're not there, Scratch isn't there,
Afterthought Brewing?
I'm just going to hit all these brews I've never heard. Like, maybe one or two. Because, you know, that'll piss you off. You hit four straight brews you never heard of, and you're like, all right,
I'm going to try this.
Where the fuck is Haymarket, right? After beer number five.
Migraine Brewing.
All right. I'm probably going JT Walker's Brewery first.
Little Beaver. They got little, they're in like where you might find, where you would have found like Blue Island and stuff like that previously. Wow.
Will County Brewing, Wolfden Brewing. There's so many, you know, we're missing some names, but then there's so many names that I know nothing about that, you know, I feel pretty good about this.
Around the Bend? They're there though.
Oh yeah?
So they're repping the District Brew Yards.
Okay. Open Outcry, that's Will Turner's joint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm not even seeing...
Elmhurst Brewing, have you ever had anything from them?
No.
Or 25 West? Wow, there's actually, now that we're talking about it, there's actually quite a few joints on here, maybe 10, that I've never heard of or have never had their beer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mentioned Blue Island, and I don't even see Blue Island here. That, man, I always like seeing the Blue Island folks. I see Blue Nose.
Black Horizon, that's another crew we've seen in the book, but we haven't hit.
Misbehaving Meads is going to be there.
They had a stellar peanut butter and jelly mead at the, so the closing ceremony last year was the theater on the lake party. It was a tiki party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
25 West Brewing.
Forgot about that.
Have you heard of 25 West Brewing?
No.
This is, we are missing folks. There are new folks here. Then shorts, what are they doing here?
They moved to Illinois is what they did, right?
Shorts, I remember like loving shorts, right? Like shorts had some really interesting beers. People went nuts for them. But now you're kind of confusing me. We got Short Fuse and we got shorts. Get out of here.
I'm with you. This is
this Illinois Craft Beer Week.
It's the launch for Illinois Week, and then also it's in a landmark building, man. It's on the National Register of Historic Landmarks. Mm-hmm. This party is not for shorts. Not that we're picking on shorts, but it's not
I'm
about
picking
that.
On shorts. Who's Wolf Den?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Will County. Dry City.
We just spent the last 5 minutes naming all the breweries we don't know.
We don't know. Yeah.
I think that'll probably be the takeaway from Bug this year. Oh. I'm actually kind of excited about that, man.
This seems like
a
bad move. Goose Island is in, you know, when you often, if you've ever gone to the left side at when you go into the conservatory, there's like a little,
you walk
like,
in and go left.
You go left, and there's like, you know, the slide is back to the kids area, yeah. And it gets kind of tight in there. Goose Island is there.
Nice. I like that.
So I wonder, hopefully they're not bringing anything crazy, because that's going to be a dangerous spot.
So the spot I was talking about is called the Artist Garden.
Goose Island and Low Rise. Oh, Goose Island shares a table with Pollyanna.
Really?
I don't know.
So if I go to where I said I was going to go, the Artist Garden, the little garden on the right, when you walk in and then go past the main entry and go to the right. So I'll be hanging out with Lunar, Roaring Table, and Soul Taco. Oh, but Hot Butcher and Forbidden Root are back there. And so is Great Central. And Alarmist is back there. So I'm still going back there first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's outside.
That's outside.
Wait, there's less. Is there less breweries and more outside this time? Because there is nothing in the show house. Unless I'm thinking the show house is different, right?
No, there's usually a ton of stuff in the show house.
Right?
Yeah.
Penrose was in there last year.
I've seen the very first time I had Saint Laurent was in the show house.
Right, and we talked to the guys that do the Rainbow Ice Cream.
Oh, the Horse Thief Hollow and Open Outcry.
They were in there last year.
Yeah, there's nothing in the show house.
There's nothing inside, right?
There's only two breweries in all of inside. There's only two breweries in the entire inside. That can't be right.
And then that Horticulture Hall.
They're sticking everybody way in the back.
There's a lot more outside this year, which. It could be good or it could be bad, right?
Yeah. This is interesting. There's six breweries. So of these 66 options, there are six breweries inside. Those six breweries are Peckish Pig, Hopewell, Tighthead, Dry City. I believe that's in Wheaton. Goose Island and Low Res. Those are the breweries inside. Everybody else is... Horticultural Hall has eight breweries.
Right, but that's not even, there's no plants or anything in there. Yeah. They got everyone away from the plants.
Did something happen?
Something must have happened.
Because last year, most of the party was in the Palm House, the Show House.
The Show House.
And the Sugar from the Sun, that area. A lot of the party was there.
Yeah. You know, the Palm House it's big. There's, you know, two breweries at each table, Rapid, Will County, Middlebrow, and Tighthead. So.
That's interesting. Horticultural Hall is going to be cool, but yeah, like you said, it's just a hallway and there's not a lot of plants there.
Right, it's a hallway to often lead you outside. Mm-hmm. Like that's.
Who's the eight top in Corridor Hotel Hall? All right, so who we got?
Well, no, there's more than eight there because some of these people share multiple tables.
Oh.
Like 58 is Crystal Lake and Misbehaving Meads. 59 is Dry Hop and Midnight Pig. It's a different list. Like the different breweries, a different layout. Maybe it makes you try some other beers. There had to been reasons to this madness, right?
I'd like to know more about that. So if we see some of the Guild folks, that would be my first question. Like, why are there only six breweries on the main...
And why is it not in alphabetical order?
In the main rooms. The main plant rooms.
Right.
There's only six breweries. Why? Why is that? Well, there was a lot more than that last year. Mm-hmm.
So Last Pour is also at 9:15, which seems early, right? Starts at 6?
VIP starts at like 5:30.
Right. And then so general admission starts at 6 probably. Mm-hmm. So you have 3 hours basically. So get there. Yeah. If you're thinking
that's
of
fair.
If you have general admission and you're going to Bug, get there early because they don't let you in. Like, and you could wait in line for an hour and then it's 7 o'clock before you get in. Like, just be ready for that.
That's a fact.
Man, all right, we looked at this list, and I still don't even know.
All right, let's switch gears.
All right, what all else right. we got happening this week?
All right, so let's talk about the other stuff going on in ICBW. Mm-hmm. You talked about Horse Thief Hollow and Open Outcry, so they're doing the Rainbow Connection again.
Nice.
That is the it's a flight of beers that's modeled after the Rainbow Cone, which is an ice cream shop right down the street from those two breweries on Western that's been around since like 1926.
Okay.
Right. These are the flavors in the original Rainbow Cone. Chocolate, strawberry, pistachio, orange sherbet, and Palmer House.
What flavor is Palmer House?
Palmer House is a cherry ice cream with chunks of cherry and walnut, Brad.
Palmer House tastes like Palmer House.
Yeah, so that party is on, it looks like 5:16, man. Yeah, and that's like 11 a.m. Like that.
All right.
Yeah. If you need an excuse to get off work, actually 5:15. I lied to you. 11 a.m. 5:15.
So that's the following weekend. 5:16. It's like
So it's like in the middle of the week. It's like next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. I missed that last year.
Yeah, I wanted to go, but I always say I want to go to Open Outcry, and I don't go.
Yeah. Cheers to Corridor. They have a party with Phase 3. They have a collab. It's called Set Your Phasers to Stun. So the DDH, DIPA. That's going down on 5:16 at Corridor.
Cool.
We like Corridor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5:12, right? 5:12, because that's Saturday. Mm-hmm. Le Jus Citra.
Nice.
Getting released. Can release of the first variant of Le Jus. Okay. I will be there picking them cans. Because I gotta make my way to Evanston, so I'll go that way.
Right on. The sixth annual Cheeseburger in a Paradise from Spiteful Brewing. That goes down on 5:23.
Have you gone to this event?
No, it's always sold out.
This is an event I always would love to go to, and I just don't go.
It's at Guthrie's, Guthrie's Tavern. It's a $15 ticket, 7 p.m. start, to $15. Gets you cheeseburger and it gets you entry into a dice tournament. There it is. It's done. Simple. I like that.
We should have asked them when we were interviewing them about this event.
We forgot, man.
Yeah.
We forgot. That's a fun concept. I like that, man. Yeah. Beerfly Alley Fight, man.
Mm-hmm.
Beerfly Alley Fight is at Metro. That's a $35 ticket. That starts at noon.
What day?
Shit.
What? Knew I was going to ask this. It's during Craft Beer Week, so it's probably Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. May 18th. That's a Saturday.
So the following week.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that was, I was going to ask you, what are your favorite Chicago Craft Beer Week moments, Illinois Craft Beer Week moments? And I think, like, Beer Fly Alley Fight, at the ones at Haymarket, those are on mine for sure.
But yeah, that's on Saturday the following week. That spills past Illinois Craft Beer Week. Like I said, the Illinois Craft Beer Week is now, it's just the start of the drinking summer. I think that's the only way to look at this now, because there aren't, it's not a week full of events. A lot of events now happen on the weekends and they just carry over. There's no Freshies this year, or right? Freshies, right? From Hop Review?
Yeah, that's coming. No, they pushed it. They pushed it back. And they were big into, like, kind of making the observation that, you know, it's Illinois Craft Beer Week, but only four or five events are happening outside of Chicagoland. Yeah. So I think, I don't know, there's room for adjustment there.
Mm-hmm. Right? And then you said Beer Fly Alley Fight's the 18th. That's also Dark Lord Day.
Oh, shit.
So this Dark Lord Day also throws off Illinois Craft Beer Week a little bit, too.
I liked it when Dark Lord Day was like smack in the middle. I liked that.
It created chaos.
I love that. Yeah.
So it now was... it's just there's a what is Dark Lord Day the closing event now for the week?
It's the Sunday after.
It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday after. It's a Saturday after Bug. The full week Saturday after Bug. Yeah, this Dark Lord Day.
Right.
We're gonna be there, by the way.
We'll be there. Yeah. But you also can get a passport now. There is this, they're doing their Illinois Craft Beer Week. There's the passport that you can get. That I would love, if you are someone who gets a passport, let me know. I've seen one person in my entire, probably last 5 years, have a passport and get stamps from someone while I was there.
What do you get when you?
I think you get discounts or you get a t-shirt.
When I went on the Bourbon Trail, they got a t-shirt.
Right.
I didn't get the t-shirt.
I want to meet someone that like does the passport.
That did the whole thing?
Or that's going, or plans to do it.
Yeah.
I don't even know where you get your passport. Probably a Bug.
Wherever
passports are given. Probably at participating places.
We're gonna be
banned from guild events.
I tell you, one of my favorite guild events was the clothes. I'm really mad about this clothes thing, man. I forgot because everyone wore tiki gear, and they were like, you know, they were like, what do you call those little, you know, little dresses that are made out of like, you know, like coconut skin or whatever.
I don't think it's coconut skin, but grass skirts.
They were grass skirts. Thank you. But dude, no, everybody was committed to the tiki theme at the close last year, and I dug that.
Oh yeah.
I dug that.
Was that the Half Acre event? Was it the close?
No, this was at Theater on the Lake.
Mm. Didn't Half Acre have a party during Craft Beer Week one time?
It was called the Sands.
Yeah.
Jana from Haymarket told me that this party was so crowded that she had to sneak Ray Daniels into the party because they were like, dude, we were at capacity.
But
yeah, that fruit. Like, people who went will tell you that's the best party that ever happened. All right, so it's Half Acre. What's the name of this beach, man? We saw the Mumford and the Sons played there right after the Blackhawks won the title. It's like, oh, Montrose. I think it's Montrose Beach.
Okay.
It was at Montrose Beach. Half Acre throws a party called the Sands Craft Beer Week. And it's also their anniversary party, right? And yeah, I heard it was great. I wouldn't know. I didn't go.
I didn't go either. I've never gone to a Half Acre event.
Same. I've never been to a Half Acre party.
The guild does more stuff than just like throw cool events. Right. Like we're
losing track of what the guild does.
They are proponents of beer, craft beer, in the state. Like that's their job.
I'm glad. Right? I'm glad you're bringing us back home here.
Like that's not. They're not to make us happy and throw on a good event.
We spent like at least 15, 20 minutes dissecting this one party that they throw, right? But that's not really even their mission. They're a nonprofit. And yeah, they go downstate to lobby these antiquated laws that are putting brewers at a disadvantage, right?
Right.
Danielle D'Alessandro is the executive director. I brought her name up because recently she won an award. And it was actually a pretty impressive award. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, not impressive enough for me to remember 38 minutes into the show. But
well, a couple hazes later.
She was actually, she was awarded the FX Matt Defense of the Industry Award by the Brewers Association.
Oh, right? Cool. Okay.
Because of her pursuit of legislation that supports Illinois craft brewers.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and I think she's got a background in law. I mean, so that is really what the guild's all about. Like, we spend a lot of time dissecting these parties because we like parties, but the guild is really about that.
And that's what
that.
The public sees. Like, the public doesn't benefit. They benefit from the laws, but they don't care.
You can't drink the laws.
Right. Yeah. And like, not every brewery is part of the guild, like we said. Like, there are breweries that aren't part of it, either because they can't afford to, they don't like what they're doing, or they just, forgot to renew. stuff like that happens too.
Whoops.
Yeah. So, but every brewery benefits from what they end up doing. So.
Yeah. I want to say back in 2012, that's my favorite craft beer year was 2012. Craft beer week year. It was
okay.
That was the, because the closing ceremony was the opening party for Revolution Kedzie.
Yeah.
So it was, so that was cool. Chicago Beer Geeks, we did our beer with Wild Onion that year. And then we threw a party at the Bottom Lounge that year.
Okay. So you were busy.
Dude, like the Goose Mini Golf, Rev Close, and then our own party.
Goose Mini Golf was good.
Yeah, Haymarket actually had their general contractor who built their brewery come out and build their hole at the so they had like a really elaborate hole at this thing. Right. Greg Porter brought a bunch of geese from his house, like these geese like ceramic.
Oh,
statues.
Maybe I didn't go to that mini golf. Maybe I went to the first mini golf.
Maybe. Yeah.
The first mini golf was just in the place across from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Finch is now.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Oh.
They only did it once.
Oh, so I didn't realize everyone built holes.
It was intense. Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool party. Yeah, so between that, the Goose one, the Deception, and Wells Park, man, those were some pretty good events in this craft beer thing.
Yeah, Wells Park was good.
Yeah. Beer Fly Alley fight, man, that's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic. It was at Haymarket for years because that's where the Drinking and Writing Theater was. Now it's at Metro.
Cool.
I think it's a beer event, but it's put on by the Neo-Futurist,
right.
Which is like that theater company in Andersonville.
No, that spot closed. I don't know where they are now.
Oh. What do you mean? The Neo-Futurarium closed?
Yeah.
Man, that place was nice.
Where they used to do Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind?
Yeah. It's like 20 plays in one?
It's gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that sucks. Mr. Fucking Current Affairs, this guy.
I don't know where they are. They're at Metro drinking.
They'll be at Metro on the 18th throwing out Beer Fly Alley fight. Yeah. So, right on, man. Whew.
I don't know. What a mess.
What are you doing? this is Narwhal Picnic's fault, man. Dude, we spent like 20 minutes on fucking a bug. We're like, why is there no one in the fucking fern room?
What am I going to do?
What do you mean there's nobody in the fern room? Last year there were 12 fuckers in the fern room.
Oh, man. Crazy. Oh. All right. But I think we're going
to... I'm glad we cleaned it up talking about how to guild and what they really do.
But we're going to do a post. We're going to do a recap of Bug. I think we're going to have a fellow Chicago beer podcaster on. And
why not? Shy beer guy?
Yeah. We're going to get some other opinions instead of Nick and I's... hazy ramblings.
Fucking Brouillards, man.
All right, so those are some of the events for Illinois Craft Beer Week. There are a bunch of can releases. I saw that also Noon Whistle has a can release they're doing. Well, they do can releases every week.
Yeah.
But everyone has stuff coming out this week. We also, on the episode with District Brouillards, we mentioned their can releases that they're doing for the week.
I tell you, man, I'm excited about that Around the Bend Rosé Ale. It's got like raspberries and like fucking
sound good,
and like currants and it's like a sparkling ale base. And even like when Christian came over because he was brewing, he's like, dude, this fucking thing is. He was the most jazzed about that.
Dan, like when he gave me the beer I was having, he reminds me of when we were at Forbidden Root and. Mm-hmm. Randy Mosher's like, yeah, I got this weird shipment from China in of this like plant. It's like, what is this fruit that you made that up, man? I don't know.
Oh, man. I remember that.
It's cool. It's cool what people find that you get some different flavors that you may not have had before that you're introduced for the first time. And then you're like, you might see at the store and you're like, oh, well, I know what that weird orange lemon is?
Yeah, it's the other end of the adjunct spectrum, right? You got guys that are like we said, like not everyone's doing adjuncts, but the breweries that are doing it are doing all the weird shit, and they're doing it every single week.
Yeah, right? and doing it well.
Yeah, and they're doing it well. And then you got this other end where it's like, well,
Lucky Charms. That's a different. That's a nut sub.
Yeah, like, there's two different types of adjunct folks, and you know the Randy Mosier and Around the Bend adjunct folks, and then the folks that are doing the really way out there, bizarro, anything goes. Any ingredient you can think of, any food you can think of that you've had in, yeah, in your childhood, in the kettle now.
All right. Cool. All right. So before we get out of here, was there anything else? You still have a list. You still have a whole page
there's
there.
News.
All right. What do we got?
Let's get into some news, man. Shout out to Dry Hop and Corridor, that crew.
Yeah.
You know, ever since Corridor opened, haven't been to Dry Hop as much.
No.
Only because Corridor is more on my route.
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, they're opening a third location.
What? Where are they naming it? Where are they naming it?
They're naming it Crushed by Giants. Yeah. So they're in a building that houses the AMC Theater right off Michigan Avenue.
That's so far. I'll never go.
Yeah, that's like Streeterville. That's a weird area, man.
Awesome for them.
It's across the street from Eataly, which is great because Eataly has a brewery on the second floor that's only open like half the fucking week.
Right.
Like, you know, come on.
That's cool. I'm probably more likely to go to Open Outcry than not.
I'll be on 115th and Western before I go to fucking Michigan Avenue. I'm with you on that, man. It's weird as fuck over there, man.
But that's awesome for them for like tourist wise.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, they're gonna kill it. So it's a Mexican city style pub. They're gonna focus on hazies because that's their thing.
Yeah.
Hazies and rotating Mexican lagers and tacos. So there's a spot called Income Tax that I haven't been to, but I passed it recently. The Income Tax chef is moving. And he's going to join this project.
Damn, okay.
And then it's in a building that used to have a Heaven on 7, which is a really popular...
Yeah, it's in the AMC building.
It's in the AMC building. You take these huge set of escalators up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's their third location. Crushed by Giants refers to the fact that AMC is in that building, and Under Armour is a neighbor in that building. And like negotiating things with these really big companies was cumbersome for him as a small... brewery owner.
Sure, yeah.
And so he's like, well, the name of my brew pub is going to be Crushed by Giants. It's kind of a, like, you know, an ode to that,
yeah,
that experience, right? Yeah. 120 seats.
Damn, well, that's awesome. Joint.
Good for them, man, because there ain't a lot of options. You talk about Clark Street, and these ain't even breweries. We're talking just good bars, period. Side Door, Clark Street Ale House. I don't know what House and Hood is doing, but we shot the show from there. That was one of the first episodes where we went to the roof. And we didn't say shit.
I thought that closed.
Did it close? It's over?
That was like, didn't we do it? And they were like, yeah, we're closing in like 6 months.
But it was so good.
I don't know. I haven't. I have not been downtown in a long time.
Right. And that's the point, right? It's a block off Michigan, and there ain't a lot of beer-centric stuff going on over there. So look at them.
And you could get yourself a crawler and sneak it in to AMC.
To the theater, you know? When Anchorman 3 comes out, you're going to be set.
Does that happen?
I saw Anchorman 2 over there. All right, so good for them. Pace Magazine, they had a blind tasting of 102 lagers recently. That's their thing quarterly. Let's get a bunch of beers and blind taste them. We'll just go through some noteworthy entries of the 102. 102 through 31 were not ranked, right? But there were some ones that sounded familiar. Spiteful Lager was in that list.
Okay.
So was Lagunitas. Lagers Super Lager is a Lagunitas entry. Two Brothers, $100 cab ride, was their lager.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I remember hearing about this beer.
I love that name.
It's a good beer.
Because if you live in fucking Warrenville.
It's a $100 cab ride. What the bug? And you're like, I gotta go home.
Urban Chestnut's Wickle. We've had that on the show.
Oh, that's good.
That with the crazy top that comes all the way off.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool beer. Sun King's Pachanga. That's the one that came with the, goddamn, what you call that thing that's full of candy that is like the little Mexican party thing, and you beat it, and then it comes out, and the candy falls out?
Uh-huh.
It came with one of
those. Piñata.
Thank you. Goddamn, what's wrong with me? You know, this is the last time we're drinking this fucking beer on this show, man. New Oberfalls. They were in that 102 to 31 list.
I don't even know.
New Oberfalls is in Indiana, and they were a crew that was, they were an underground crew that made it to the pro ranks. Their Hellas was in the 102.
Sounds like you're talking about wrestling. It's an underground wrestler who made it to the WWE.
Goose Island, natural villain, also in the list.
Okay.
Oh, but the surprise on the list was number 9, which was Emmett's Brewing, their Munich Light.
Whoa, okay. Yeah,
their Munich Light was number 9. And then that beer took a gold at JBF in 2016.
Nice, okay. Yeah.
The James Beard Awards were in Chicago this past week. James Beard Awards are basically the Oscars for food, wine, and spirit, essentially, right? And it's held at the Lyric Opera House downtown every year. The outstanding producer of wine, spirit, or beer this year was Rob Todd from Allagash.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
Allagash has been around since 1995. Now, that party's been going on since 91, but this outstanding wine, spirit, or beer producer thing has only happened since 2012. And okay. There's only been two other times where a beer producer actually won the award. Sam Calagione from Dogfish back in 2014. Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn in 2017.
Okay.
So, cool. A beer dude won the fucking beer, spirit, or wine category at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Oscars for boot.
And then speaking about awards, the World Beer or the JBF? Not JBF. They added two more hazy styles to the awards.
Yes.
Why am I forgetting? Not World Beer.
No, JBF. The categories.
The categories.
The style category. Yeah.
Two more hazy categories. So Chicago should clean up big time.
Dude.
This time.
We love those styles. I mean, we're drinking two good examples right here.
Right. So there's a strong, I know there's a strong pale hazy, which is what?
It's called strong pale.
Strong pale hazy.
Man, which is somehow different from
the IPA.
Yeah.
So there's strong pale, there's double.
Yeah, because there was a double.
There's
last
IPA,
year.
And there's another one that I'm totally forgetting now, but
it's becoming an accepted style, an accepted category.
Yeah.
The people have spoken, you know? I want to say, because for like eight years or so, the top two categories were IPA and double IPA.
Right.
And now they opened this juicy category. And I want to say, well, juicy was the category that was held to the very last award of the night last year in its first year. So, I mean, people, you know. We're drinking a beer that was canned 5 days ago. I mean, this is how we drink beer. So this is reflected in the awards.
It's got to be hard. We're about a year away from those awards when they would happen now. It's gonna be tough, like that.
October.
That haze. Is there four or five hazy beers now? Categories like that's you gotta be nuts to judge that. Like.
Yeah, I think that's where Alarmist was. It was one of those beers where it's like, all right. From the time you put it on the truck to get it to Denver, you know, and by the time it gets in a judge's glass, right, that's a 2 week run, right?
Right.
So you're in that style, but not everyone's making those styles. Well, last year, not everyone was making those styles to last.
Right, and that was something.
Are you saying that's fucked up. 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that was something when we talked to Alarmist that was something they were conscious of, that they knew, like, yeah, you need these beers to last more than a week. Like that's. Bullshit to think that someone is going to buy this 4-pack and drink it today.
Yeah, yeah. I've been victim of those, man. I've had a beer. It was amazing. And I went back and got the beer, and then everything fell out of it. It's like sugar water after 10 days. That's not cool. Beer integrity. That's you know, we need beer integrity in this joint, man. All right. Also in the news, Avengers Endgame. Man, I don't want to spoil this for anybody. Did you see Avengers Endgame?
I didn't see it, but I know what happens.
All right, cool.
I watched the Spider-Man trailer, so I know what happens.
Oh, but so there's a cool article on craftbeer.com this week because Avengers, a lot of it, Endgame and Infinity War were shot in Georgia. That's like the Hollywood of the South. Oh, but anyway, there's a scene where Thor is drinking a ton of beer in this fucking movie, right?
Okay.
And then the beer he's drinking is from Georgia-based Creature Comforts, celebrating their 5-year anniversary.
Whoa.
Yeah, so Creature Comforts actually has two beers in this fucking movie, man. One's a Berliner Weiss, and then the other one is a Tropicala, which is like an IPA. So the way it sounds like the brothers who produced the film were noticing that members of the production crew were leaving this billion-dollar film set to go chase this beer. They're like, we'll be back. We got to go get this fucking beer from Creature Comforts, right? And so it's like, well, that's interesting. We got a beer scene, so let's talk to the guys. because our crew is going nuts over their beer. So that's how it came together. So a company that's 5 years old is now in like the biggest movie of the year.
Holy
because
shit.
Because of that. So that's really cool, man. So cheers to those guys. They would leave the set and go chase beer trucks because they knew where it was going.
Yeah.
And speaking of 5 years, man, Beermiscuous is turning 5 years old.
What?
And they are brewing a 5-star hazy pale ale with Around the Bend.
Okay.
For their 5-year celebration.
Yeah, they had just left the facility when we showed up.
Yeah. Mm. Last bit of news, man. The good folks at Three Floyds opened their distillery last week.
Just in time for Dark Lord Day.
It's online, man. Their cocktail
Where bar. Are you going to buy the beer now?
I don't know. The last like 3 years, it ran through the not opened distillery next door.
Yeah.
So you go down that little country road into the industrial park, and there was a distillery next to the brewery. Distillery was closed, not open yet, and everybody walked through there to get the beer. We shall see.
But I think they should do this. Surly do this where, or someone does this where, if you got a ticket, he was Rev. You could show up. Or Haymarket did this. You could show up within, like, your 2-week window to buy the beer. Like, you can buy it on the day that it was released. But if you don't make it, feel free to show up within a week. And if you don't show up, we will sell it. It will go back to the general public.
I like that. I like that. Because as it stands now, you've got, you know, lots A through E, or, you know, ticket times A through E to pick up your beer. And then if you miss any of the previous times, you've got until E to get your beer. But you got to get it that day.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Their cocktail bar looks fucking nice.
For Dark Lord Day?
For the distillery.
Oh, the distillery in general.
The distillery in general looks great online.
Uh-oh. How are we getting Dark Lord Day?
I have no idea what's going on, Brad. I couldn't even get through this app, dude. We stumbled hard as fuck through this app. I don't even
know. A beer and a half, and you're like... Cocktails and Dark Lord.
I don't know, man.
They're going to have to open up a hotel. Or like some sort of like Japanese nap house.
As a thing?
Yeah. I don't know. Like a little like an hour hotel, but not for sex. Like for naps.
You can't tell people what to do, man.
If it's small enough. Like just like cubbyhole.
If you design it that way.
Yeah.
Seriously, man.
Just naps.
It's a monster. We're going to need help with this. I have no idea. I have no idea how we're getting to it from Dark Lord.
Yikes. All right. Well, we got to worry about Bug first. And so we had 2 episodes this week. We had this one. We had our District Brew Yards. Check that out. Half hour there. Hour here. All right. We got to get out of here. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass. Chicago Beer Pass on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're posting all kinds of stuff, photos, events, other things all around. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. Everything's posted there. And look for us at Bug. Take care.
Cheers.